would turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. We'll be looking today at the beginning of verse 21, chapter 4, reading down through verse 29. Mark 4, and beginning there in verse 21. Hear now this word of the Lord. He, that is Jesus, said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We pray that you would use this word today, as you have promised, for your divine purposes, that it will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you send it forth. And Lord, we come today with anxious and expectant hearts, longing to hear a word from you. Lord, teach us, we pray, through your word. Instruct us, call sinners to yourself. Lord, encourage us, build up your church, we pray. Lord, our prayer today is that we would hear your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. If you think this text sounds very much like last week, you're correct. There's much here about hearing. The hidden is disclosed. The sower is scattering seeds which grow. And we know not how the seeds spring up, but in different conditions, as we said last week, the results are God's business, not ours. But despite all the objections and the hardships, some seed falls in good soil, and there will be a harvest. There is a harvest to come. These parables are about hearing. This whole fourth chapter thus far has been about the difference between effective hearing and ineffective hearing. You know, the same parables are heard by all. The same parables are heard by both the insiders and the outsiders. The difference is in how they hear them, not what they hear. They're all hearing the same thing. The overall teaching here is about effective hearing, and it reinforces the message of the sower that there will be different degrees of what is heard. The message that's heard and the results will depend really on what the hearer brings to the encounter. Jesus admonishes them over and over to hear, to hear, to hear. And we see these two little short parables of the lamp and the measure, they're actually linked together with the repetition of to hear, and to hear carefully. And in addition, you see the repetition of verse 9 from last week, word for word there in verse 23. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The stress is also, as we saw last week, on the response of the hearer. Now, in the parable of the lamp, the light represents the revelation of the secret of the kingdom of God, the very knowledge of which distinguishes the insiders from the outsiders. The lamp in Jesus' day, you know, was a little clay lamp that was filled with oil. It had a little wick in the end, you lit it. And generally there was something that you could suspend it from. You could hang it. There was a little rope or a little string, we might call it macrame today. You could set the lamp in and it would give light. And the Greek text here, interestingly, literally says, and listen to the word, does the lamp come to be put under a bushel? That's what the text says. Does the lamp come to be put under a bushel? If we compare this with the words of Jesus in John 9:5, Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Y'all know that verse. It seems we may say that Jesus is the lamp, the light that came but was hidden in some way. Not because of anything wrong with the lamp, but really because it's what God intends, in order that what is hidden, as he says here, may become plain. In other words, the glory of the promised Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the true light, was hidden to many people's way of thinking in weakness, in suffering, death, crucifixion, but ultimately resurrection. But this light must be shed abroad. But even then, it will be unrecognized by those who do not hear correctly. Those who are not listening, those who are not paying attention, those who grope around in their own darkness, or because the light is not set on a stand, because the light's not up here being shed abroad, because the truth of the gospel is not being shed abroad. Jesus reminds us here that the light of the gospel is not to be covered, it's to be elevated. It's to be raised up where it can be seen. It's to be elevated so it can shed light in the darkness. But sadly, I would say, this is not the case always with our personal light. How often is your Christian witness hidden under a bushel? I know you've all heard the expression, you can't prove it by me. Is that what you say by your personal life, by your personal testimony about Jesus Christ? When the truth of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior of sinners, as very God himself, fully God and fully man, when Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal peace with God, is the right answer, do we speak up? Do our actions, our words, shed forth that light? Or are they equivalent of, you can't prove it by me? Has the lamp of the gospel truth never been put on the stand in your life? You know, it's often hidden under the bushel of fear or bushel of what society calls good manners or politically correct behavior. You know, our world has lots of bushel baskets for hiding the truth about Jesus. Story is told of two men talking about the death of a very close friend of theirs. And one said to the other one, you know, I was reading his obituary, he was a member of the First Presbyterian Church. The other said, well, I never knew that. The first one said, me neither. You know, was his light being spread abroad? Was it being broadcast? Or what would people say about us? I never knew that. But you know, it's not just people. The church too can hide its light under a bushel. The light, excuse me, can be hidden under programs, under acquiescence to the culture, the societal pressures, and a lot of times under the fear of saying clearly and distinctly, "Thus saith the Lord." The church can become so enamored with and so bent on pleasing the world that no light comes out from under the basket of this present culture. You know, we need to hear the words of the Lord. The church must open her ears and hear. We're inundated, as C.S. Lewis said, with the cataract of nonsense that pours forth in the media every day. I know I used that expression last week, but I love what he said. It's a flood that covers us up every day with mostly meaningless information. You know, we can hear a pin drop when it comes to politically and socially correct dogma, but we can't hear the clarion call of God's word. The second parable of the measure refers to the way one responds to the light. This is not, in this context, the out of context use made of it by our favorite TV preachers. With what measure you use, if you use a bigger measure to give to God, he'll use a bigger measure to give back to you. That's not the context here. You don't even see that in our present text. Luke's use of that particular phrase may be construed to encourage generous giving, but in the context here, it's to encourage careful hearing. That's patently obvious from verse 24. Jesus is still speaking of the responsibility of the hearer. The care that is expended in understanding and responding to Jesus' parables will be proportionately rewarded. What you get out of them depends a lot of times on the effort and care you put into them. The one who has access to the truth must be careful not to ignore it or to turn a deaf ear to it. You know, the truth that Jesus sets down here is that increase in understanding and insight and growth in mind and spirit is measured by the diligence, the determination with which we apply ourselves to the responsibility of hearing, understanding the word. You know, to the one who gives more in the search for truth, who manifests responsibility to hear rightly, to him shall be given more. It's a fact. The more you're in the Word, the more diligent you are in your studies of God's revelation, the more you hear and discern from God in the Word. It's a principle. The more effort and time you put into the Word, the more you will get out of the Word. That's exactly what we're looking at here. But note the other side of the parable. The one who uses neither his will nor his ears to hear lose the ability to hear and discern the truth. Jesus says even what he has will be taken away. Puts me in mind of the seed on the path we saw last week. Parable of soils. Satan snatches away the word. The ground's hard, the word doesn't penetrate, and the word is lost. This is a warning of spiritual disaster. The hardening of the conscience, the inability to see and perceive God's truth, the clouding of one's view of God the misunderstanding of their relationship to him. Those are the sure results for those who repeatedly refuse to hear. They will lose, eventually, the ability to even hear. They will not be cognizant of what the Word has to say. Paul wrote there in Romans 1, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. The one who refuses to hear really has everything to lose. Now, the third parable in this little trifecta today, I know that it forms a pair of sorts with the one in the parable of the mustard seed, but I also know that this parable here of the seed ends with a harvest, and that closely parallels the harvest in verse 20 in the parable of the soils. We'll come back to the mustard seed next week. But the parable of the growing seed is a story of a normal process of growth and harvest. There's a lot of changes of subject in this little short parable, in the sentences and the various clauses within them. The man is the subject, the seed is the subject, the soil, the grain, the harvest are all subjects of various clauses there. But the parable opens with a focus on the man. And despite all the changes of subject in this short parable, the man, the seed, the grain, the harvest, the parable really brings our focus on the man, and you know, we're told the experiences that he has, the results of his sowing. He sows this seed and then goes about his ordinary business. If all of you who've had a garden know how this works, you plow it up, you work it, you put the seed in the ground, and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And at first, there doesn't seem to be a lot to show for the sowing. And sometimes you begin to doubt, I wonder if these are ever going to come up. And you know, there are skeptics and doubters as the word is sown also. They might think nothing was happening. But there's an inner dynamic at work between the seed and the soil, which will in due time produce results. So it is with the word that's sown. We don't know how God is going to use the word. In time, in God's time, the message will produce its effect. God promises that the word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which he sends it forth. Even if our human insight really can't fathom how all that works. But in the meantime, while we're waiting, you know, the wise sower will have confidence. For God's work will be accomplished in God's way. So this parable really encourages us to patiently await the coming kingdom of God. The harvest for the sower is God-given. God gives the harvest. All the farmer can do is to leave everything to God. He does all he can do. He prepares the ground. He sows the seed, and he has to wait for God to work. And likewise, as the seed of the word is sown, you know, we can only wait for God to do what he is pleased to do. And, you know, we should remember this and take heart. It's easy to get discouraged sometimes. We witness to people. We've tried to share the gospel with people. We've tried to encourage people, you know. But we have to wait on God's time. The fact that the kingdom is hidden to so many doesn't mean something isn't happening. Something is happening many times under the ground, so to speak, that is in the hearts of those who hear, as the Spirit of God is the one who applies this word. And we don't see that, and we don't know what's going on. We have to be like the farmer and be confident and patient and waiting. And he says the growth of the seed into the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. That really suggests an appointed order of development. The fruit of whatever has transpired underground will soon become visible. You know, the parable begins with sowing and it ends with harvest. And I think it's fair to see in this the fact that the kingdom of God follows as certainly as the harvest follows the sowing of the seed. And there's something else you should notice here. Notice the sudden consummation of the whole process. As soon as, he says, as soon as the grain is ripe, the sickle is put to it. There's a sudden rush of activity when the grain is ripe. There's a right time to pick your tomatoes. There's a right time to harvest the grain. Not too soon, but you can't wait. When it's ready, it's ready. There's something needs to happen. And remember what Jesus said here in this very book, back in chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus said, the time has come. Time has come. The long history of God's dealing with Israel, indeed with all his people, has reached its climax. The certain assurance that God's hour has arrived is notable in the preaching of Jesus. The time is now. The kingdom is coming. It's here. The last days have begun. In the coming of Jesus Christ, the kingdom is near. All that is necessary is to take God seriously, to take him at his word. The decisive event in the life of the kingdom is the reaping of the spiritual harvest with the sickle of the final judgment, the separation between the religious and the wicked, the righteous and the wicked, the insiders and the outsiders. The chief point here, I think, is not the hiddenness, not the gradualness of the coming of the kingdom. I think where we go here at the very end, Jesus shows us the certainty, the inevitability of its coming. The kingdom of God is coming, and it's going to come. And we may not see the process, and some of the process may lay hidden under the ground for a while, and then there's the little plant and there's a stalk and there's not much happening. But when it comes, and it comes quickly. These parables really hold out the necessity of holding forth the word, letting the light of the gospel shine forth in word and deed. And they hold out the responsibility of hearing correctly, and the apparent insignificance of the coming kingdom before its final consummation. People look at the church, they look at Christian people, and they don't really understand. We seem to be an insignificant part of the world, of culture. But despite all those appearances, despite the apparent insignificance, God's purposes are being fulfilled in God's ways, and God entrusts the secrets of the kingdom, you know, only to those who are willing to trust him, in spite of all the apparent failures, the waiting, the unpromising appearances, the weakness. Think about it. Can the disciples, even more, can you believe that the kingdom of God advances, that God achieves his eternal purposes through public humiliation, through apparent defeat, through crucifixion? Can you believe that Jesus of Nazareth, who was cruelly nailed to a Roman cross, is indeed the judge of the living and the dead? That he is the King of glory? That he's coming in glory? That he will do as he said? That he will send his angels out to reap the harvest? That his precious wheat will be gathered into his barn, and that the chaff will be burned up with unquenchable fire? Beloved, the harvest is coming. And as soon as the grain is ripe, as soon as it's ripe, he's going to put the sickle to it. We need to be ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the surety we have that everything will come, and it will come in your time and the way you said. And at the end, it will come suddenly. Our Savior Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable with new glorious bodies. Those bodies that have lain in the dust will be raised glorious bodies. If we are left alive, these bodies of ours will be changed in an instant, as Paul said. Or there will be a wondrous thing that comes, the coming of your kingdom in glory. Lord, how we thank you, how we praise you. Lord, we pray that we would hear and understand this as we should. And Lord, that it would be a bright light that shines forth from this church, from our individual lives, from our individual testimony. And Lord, that we would indeed proclaim to a world that really is blind and deaf, cannot understand. But Lord, we would hold forth the word as we should, hold forth your truth as we should, for the results are yours. The growth is from you. And Lord, our job is to send forth the light as we should. Lord, help us in that as your church, as your people. Lord, may it be for your glory and your honor. Lord, may you be pleased with us as we go forth, sowing seeds, casting forth the light to a world that is in such desperate need. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.